When I started writing this episode, I was going to say 2020 has been devastating for everyone. But after giving it some thought, I realized nothing could be further from the truth. 2020 did not have the same effect on everyone. Some of us were devastated by not being able to work for months, while others were fine because they haven't worked a regular job in years. Some of us were worried about how we were going to pay rent, while others were buying their second and third home and securing other properties. Some businesses shut their doors forever, while others shifted to online direct-to-customer sales and they began to thrive. Some of us fell into depression and anxiety, while others were at peace. They started innovating ways to make themselves better so that they could come out on the other side of this even sweeter. The same 2020 was going on outside. Same pandemic, same tragedies, same unrest, same problems, but some folks fell apart while others only got stronger. How? What makes them so different? Why are they so put together while there are some of us that are still just falling to pieces? Listen, if 2020 was tough for you, I'm not mad at you. I've had plenty of struggles this year too. But listen to me, it's not over yet. There's still time on the clock. Let's learn from our mistakes, fix what's broken, and finish this year strong. Welcome to the Edge, folks. Let's get sharp. People, and welcome to another episode of the Razor's Edge Study Group. I'm Mike Savage. I'll be your coach for today. Let's go ahead and get started. First of all, story time. The disciples and Jesus were in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, headed somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, as the story goes, while they were on their boat on this trip, a storm kicked up. Apparently, the storm was really bad because a bunch of trained fishermen who spent their entire life on a boat were scared to death. They felt like they were going to die. The wind was whipping. The water was in a frenzy. The rain was beating down on them. The disciples were in distress, scrambling to save themselves, and the boat that they were in was now taking on water. I know what you're thinking. Where was Jesus? What was he doing in all this dangerous, life-threatening situation? He was in the back of the boat, asleep. Sleep, nodded, unconscious. He was chilling. He was so unbothered by the entire situation that he chose to take a nap. What happened next was the disciples, they woke him up and they said, "Don't you even care? We are about to die. Help us. We're about to perish." Jesus got up, probably annoyed, because I know how I get when my sleep is disturbed. So he was probably mad, but he gets up, goes to the front of the boat, and he says, he rebukes the storm, and he says, "Peace, be still." What happened next? The rain stopped. The wind calmed down, and the sea was at peace. He then turned and he looked at his disciples and said, "Y'all don't believe after all we've been through?" And the disciples looked at him and said, to each other, "Who is this guy that the very wind and the rains obey him?" So this is the exact situation that we're in right now, that we're facing right now in 2020. We are all in the same proverbial boat, just like Jesus is in, and his disciples were, in the same situation, in the same amount of danger, but there's two different mindsets going on here. We have one mindset that says fear, one mindset that says panic, and another mindset that says faith, another mindset that says peace. So we're all in this situation together, but half of us are making it, and the other half are just in disarray. So we have to find out how we can get from one side of this thing to the other side of this. So how can we be more like Christ? So we have Jesus, who seems like he has this secret about him, who seems like he knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. What is the secret that Jesus has? I believe, number one, and this is my first point, that Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew exactly who he was before he stepped into this situation. When he was baptized earlier on in Scripture, we know that the voice of God called from heaven and said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, this was before Jesus had performed any miracles. This is before Jesus had opened any blinded eyes, before he had healed anyone that was sick, before he had raised anyone from the dead. He had already been identified as the Son of God and had already been, said that he was pleasing, that God loved him, God cared for him, regardless of anything that he had done. We need to get to that spot where we are identified in what God thinks of us and not what any man thinks of us. And I know it's hard. And I know it's difficult, but low self-esteem is terrible, okay? And the world that we live in, this social media world, where we're going by likes and comments more than anything else, we have to realize that our identity is really not in man. It's really not in anything that anybody can tell us to validify us. We need to find our confidence and our faith in who God says we are. So Jesus knew who he was before he entered this situation. Second point, Jesus knew what he could do. Now, this is the part that a lot of us don't understand. Jesus, now, yes, in the situation, he was asleep, but you have to kind of understand that he was probably asleep before the storm started. Like, he carried the peace that he had into this situation. He had it before he entered the situation, and then he carried it with him. So he was probably already resting. He was tired. He had just finished preaching for I don't know how long, and then he took a nap in the boat on his way to the next destination. So that's another point that I didn't even think of. Carry your peace with you in whatever situation you go into. Have that peace with you. But he was fully aware of who he was. And the second thing was, he was fully aware of what he could do. He knew that the winds and the rains and the earth had to respond to his will because he already knew who he was. I am the Son of God. I am the one who created all of this. I'm the one who is in control of all of this. So in order for any of this stuff to go down, it had to be an act of my Father's will. Period, point blank, moving forward. So he knew what he could do. He knew that he had the authority in this situation. And the other thing is, Jesus knew where he was headed. Like, he understood his purpose. He had already seen it all the way through to the end. And then he started at the beginning and began to walk this journey with the disciples. So he already knew that he was there to die on the cross. And so he could identify, this is not that cross situation, so I'm not about to die in it. This is not ultimately the destination that God has for me. So, you know, I'm going to just walk through this thing and I'm going to get to where I need to be. All right, so now let's talk about you. Let's talk about us as individuals. Do you know who you are? Are you confident in the person that God designed for you to be and the person that he's developing you into being? Do you really know who you are? Do you really understand that God loves you unconditionally? Do you really understand that when he created you, he fearfully and wonderfully made you? Do you understand that when he brought you into this world, he brought you into this world not as a problem, not as a burden, but as a solution to a problem? I've said it before. Someone somewhere cried out to God. They were in such pain, in such disarray, in such turmoil, but that they fell on their knees and they prayed and they said, "God, I need some help." And the answer to that prayer came when you were born. You are a solution. Do you understand that? Do you understand who you are? Do you understand what God has created for you to be? And if you don't, then you need to start spending a lot of your time trying to figure out who it is that you are, who it is that God created you to be. If you're a solution, then what's the problem? What is the problem that you're here to solve, that you are intended to fix, that you are the solution to? Do you know what you possess? What are your gifts? What are your talents? What is your skill set? What is that thing that you love doing? What is that thing that you would do for free if nobody paid you? Is it painting? Is it cooking? Is it singing? Is it playing a sport? Is it encouraging? Is it speaking? Whatever that talent is, whatever that gift that you have, is it poetry? Is it writing? Is it storytelling? Whatever that thing is it mathematics? You know, don't just think that it's only a talent if it has to do with sports or if it has to do with the arts. Math, you know, are you good at debating or arguing? You being an attorney is a gift, you know, so maybe that's your goal, maybe that's your purpose, but you got to understand what it is that you possess. In a lot of these situations, if you go back through the word, when a problem presented itself, God had to remind the individual in the midst of that problem, what is it that you have already that's going to get you out of this situation? In the story of the widow and her son, the prophet asked her, what do you have in your house? Like, what do you already possess? In the story of Moses, when they got to the Red Sea, he said, what do you have in your hand? What is it that you already possessed? What is your God-given gift, your talent, your skill set, that thing that interests you? What do you have? Because that is going to be a part of what you use to get out of this 2020 situation. And the other thing is, you got to know where you're headed. Now, in Jesus's situation, I believe that he already actually had an understanding of the future, exactly where he was going to be, exactly how he was going to die, exactly how the situation was going to go. But for us as individuals, that's not necessarily the case. But what we do have is vision. What we do have is vision. You have to decide where it is that you want to go prayerfully. God has given you a dream. God has given you a purpose. You have to take that thing as your vision. And you have to understand that once God gives you a vision, he is obligated to provide for that vision. He is obligated to protect you so that you get to that, to the end, to that destination that he showed you. So once you see that vision for your life, once you have it in your heart, once you have it in your mind, you need to start setting goals that'll get you closer to that vision. You need to start making decisions that'll get you closer to that vision. You need to start organizing your time so that it gets you closer to that vision. You need to start organizing the company that you keep so that it'll get you closer to that vision. And if what you see now today is not what you saw in that vision, then you are not done. You are not finished until you get to where God says that you're supposed to be. You are not through. It is not over for you until you get to what God said, until you get to what God showed you. Understand that. So do you know who you are? Do you know what you have or what you can do? And do you know where you're headed? If you don't know these things, then you need to start shifting some things in your life right now. You need to start shifting some things around. How can I get this information? Who do I need to talk to? What do I need so that I can better understand who I am, so that I can better understand what I possess, and so that I can finally know my vision or where it is that I'm headed? So some other things that it occurred to me while I was reading this passage, while I was studying, getting ready for this. When the disciples saw Jesus at peace, they were mad about it. And I think that's a situation that a lot of us are in, where we're struggling and we're going through and we're upset and we're big mad, and we see a lot of other people that are just at peace. We see these entrepreneurs that are out doing their thing. We see a lot of the one percenters, these rich folk, out doing their things. And and in the midst of this situation, they seem to keep getting richer. They seem to keep getting stronger and to keep getting better. And our first instinct is to hate. Our first instinct is to get mad. Or like, don't you even care? That's what they said to Jesus when he was sleeping during this hectic storm, when he was sleeping during this potentially dangerous, life-threatening situation. They said, do you even care? Do you even care about what's going on in the world? Do you even care about other people? Do you even care that we're about to die? And so that is our initial instinct. As human beings, we go to hate first. I don't know why, but we just do. We go to hating on people first. They think they trust fund babies. They're this, they're that, because they got money, because their parents set them up. They've never done a hard day's work in their life. Whatever that situation is, whatever that hate sounds like, that is our initial reaction when we see somebody else in our same situation that seems to be at peace, that's in our country going through the same 2020 that we're going through, but they seem to be getting better and they seem to be growing stronger while we're getting weaker, while we're falling apart, while we're failing. Our first instinct is to point the finger and to say and to hate on them and to say it's their fault, when the truth of the matter is, in those situations, if you see somebody winning, you need to pull out your notebook, you need to pull out your pen, you need to take some notes, you need to start doing some research, you need to start doing some study. What is it that they do? What is it that they are doing that has them in a situation where they can be at peace right now? Point blank period. We need to learn from the people that we hate on. Wow. We need to learn from the people that we hate on, because clearly they're human just like you're human. The sun shines and sets on them just like it shines and sets on you. God don't love them any more than he loves you. They get the same 24 hours in one day that you get. So look at what you have in common. They bleed red just like you bleed red. So they have gifts, talents, and abilities just like you have gifts, talents, and abilities. So what is it that sets us apart? What is it that has them there while I'm here? Those are the things that we need to look into. Those are the things that we need to learn, and you need to discuss and see how you can apply some of those principles to your life. So stop hating and start appreciating, as my sister would say. And the other piece is, I talked about this a little earlier, is that Jesus was already asleep. He did not see the storm clouds coming and decide, I'm gonna fall asleep right now. And the other thing was, he was probably sleeping. Again, I brought this point up earlier. He was probably sleeping because he was tired from doing the work. He was already doing what he was called to do. He was already doing what God called him to do. He was already operating and moving in his purpose. He was already utilizing his gifts, his talents, and abilities. So he was tired. He was exhausted from that. So he fell asleep. So that when the situation arose, he was already at peace. So you have to carry that peace with you in all situations. And that peace comes from operating your purpose, knowing that you're getting stuff done, not just occupying time, not just working and paying your bills, but knowing that your life has meaning, knowing that the work you're doing is blessing somebody, is making somebody's life better, is impacting the world in a positive way. That brings peace. Purpose brings peace. Purpose is also the enemy to suicide. And I've talked about that a lot in my past, and I'm probably going to talk about it much, much more in the future. But those people who were like me, who wanted to end their lives, who wanted to die and go home, if you have a purpose, if you have a reason to stay, then that is the enemy of suicide. Why would you want to kill yourself if you've not done your work yet? Why would you want to die if you know that you have a vision and a destination to get to? And then the last piece of this puzzle is that last statement when Jesus actually addressed the disciples at the end of all this. And he said, don't you believe, after all we've been through, after everything you've seen me done, you still don't believe, you still don't trust in me? And the disciples said, who is this that the winds and the rains obey him? So we already established that Jesus knew who he was. I think the issue and the problem with the disciples is that they didn't know who Jesus was. Because if you think about it, in the beginning of this situation, if they knew that that was God right there, asleep in the back of their boat, who could control the wind, who could control the rains, would they have panicked in the first place? Probably not. As soon as that wind would have kicked up, as soon as the situation would have started getting out of hand, they'd have been like, hey, yo, Jesus, wake up. You see what's going on? Handle business. Do what you said you would do. You know what I'm saying? In a kingdom, which is what we operate in as believers, as Christians, the king is responsible for protecting the people. The king is responsible for providing for his people. So in a situation where it seems outside of your control, why wouldn't you tap into that relationship that you have with your king? My Lord, please handle this situation. That's what the Bible talks about in Matthew. Like, all of these things will be added to unto you. All of your food needs, all of your shelter needs, all of your clothing needs, all of these basic things that people struggle and fight and toil to take care of. God said, I'll take care of all of that first if you first seek the kingdom. I'm gonna take care of you. Seek the kingdom. Seek your kingdom identity. Seek your kingdom purpose. Seek your kingdom giftings. And again, that's the 3 points that I've been trying to make. Who are you? What can you do? And where are you headed? Your kingdom identity. Who are you in the kingdom? What does God say you are? Your kingdom gifts and talents. Whatever it is that God has gifted you with, the skill set that you've developed over time, over experience, that is going to help you achieve or accomplish your vision, which is your kingdom purpose. Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all the other stuff will be added unto you. We shouldn't have to work for money. If that sounds right, it doesn't really sound right, but we shouldn't have to work for money. We should be able to tap into our kingdom purpose, do what it is that we're called to do, and money should really just be attracted to us solving the problems and being blessings to other people. I know Zig Ziglar said it like this: if you want to get everything that you want out of life, then all you have to do is help other people get what they want out of life, and all the stuff you want will just automatically come to you. Like, you don't go out and work for money, you solve somebody's problem. Like, a dentist solves the problem of tooth pain. They don't really have to advertise. When your tooth is hurting, you go find the dentist and you give him your money. You know what I mean? So he's solving a problem. A doctor solves a problem. A chef solves a problem. You know, I'm hungry. I need something to eat. I need some food. And that chef is there to solve that problem. And you go to that chef and you give him your money and he prepares a meal for you, or a grocery store. Like, and it's just like that. It is exactly like that. So you need to understand who you are. You need to understand what it is that you can do, what you already possess, your gift, your talent, your ability. And then you need to know where you're headed. And those items are going to help you shift your mindset from fear and panic to peace and faith. Those three things, those three notions, or I should say four, because that last one is really knowing who Jesus is, really knowing who loves you, really knowing who has your back. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, than any situation that you will ever face, that you will ever confront, that you would ever come up against. God is already there within you, fighting on your behalf. If you truly understood that, what fear, like, what would you be afraid of? Like, who can stand against you? Who would you ever fear? Who would you ever back down from? Why would you have low self-esteem if you already knew that God had your back? That God was going to be there for you? So I can't forget about that fourth point is, do you know who God is? Do you know who Jesus is? And that's the point of that. You feel me? I love y'all. I'll see you next time. Stay tuned for the final thought. Poet penned the words, "Laughter does good like a medicine, but hope deferred makes the heart sick." I fancy myself a speaker, motivational, inspirational. I believe encouragement is part of my DNA. But to date, I've always been at a loss when it comes to loss. If there is a salve or a balm that can be verbally delivered, a vocal inoculation that can bring back a heart from the edge of a painful death, I don't know what it is. I don't possess the words to make that type of pain go away. At this point, I'm not sure if anybody does. I've resolved to believe that the only way to deal with it is to just go through it. The same poet wrote these words: "There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." If you've experienced a loss of any kind, now is your time to cry. So cry. Sit with it. Allow it to wash over you. Mourn. And allow those who love you to comfort you. The time to laugh and the time to dance will come again. But we have to get through this first. So feel it. Go through it. And when you're done, realize that you're still here. As painful as all of that was, it did not possess the power to end you. Your heart still beats, your lungs still breathe, and your mind still thinks. You will hope again. You will love again. You will live again. So live. You may have made mistakes, but you are not a mistake. You are a solution. I love you. See y'all on the next episode.